right, this morning I want to continue. We did faith last week, faith part one. I want to talk this morning about have faith in God part two. Turn to your neighbor and say, have faith in God. Just a quick review of last week. Mark 11:21. Peter is a little surprised that the fig tree that was cursed and it's died right up to the roots, so it's just dead. It's really dead. And he goes, wow, look at that, Jesus. Peter's saying to Jesus, it's died. And Jesus simply replies by going, have faith in God. And so I kind of think that what God says, don't deny his power. Oh, yes. Sorry, guys. You should have stood up earlier. Come at the front. Youth Connect is on today. See you guys. If you have a, what years is it? Year 7 to 10. If you're year 7 to 10, please feel free to join these guys. Wow. All right. So what I was saying, I was talking about, Mark, have faith in God. Peter, Jesus says back to Peter, the word of God comes to pass in our lives when we simply don't just believe it in our heads, but believe it in our hearts. And we can be unbelieving believers or we can be believing believers. And I'm trusting that we will become more of a believing believer than an unbelieving believer, because I know if you're anything like me at times, we believe, but sometimes it doesn't really sink into our hearts. And so I want to talk about this area again today, because I think it's an area, you know, it's like winter at the moment. We need a bit of a wake-up call. We need a bit of a I know why I love God. And we can say it in our head, but it's got to have something more than that. Tell your neighbours, oh, you know what? I'm just going to say it myself. God's alive, guys. He's not dead. He's alive. And I am convinced that God's got a lot more. And I am convinced that through all our different cultures and everything that happens in the life of C3 Frio, that God wants to enlarge and expand and bring new life. And so God operates by faith. It's his nature. His nature is to be in faith, right? He spoke, things happened. He spoke into being. And so there's something right there for us, which we'll talk about in a moment. So faith, last week, faith comes from the Word of God. We have to be in the Word of God. You need faith when you need faith. In other words, you don't need faith when everything's going really well, but when a problem comes, and you need faith. Anxiety and worry will rob your faith. Speak the word. Faith will always speak out. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about these things today. Without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please. Who'd like God to smile more on you? Have faith. It is impossible to please God without. It's impossible to please God. Impossible. That's big call, isn't it? So we've got to have faith. We've got to have faith in our lives. And God loves it when we believe. You're a conqueror. Oh, I didn't really get any response from that. You are a conqueror. Look up and see what God will do for you. Stop looking down. Stop looking sideways. Stop looking to someone else. Look up. With God, you're a conqueror. He will overcome. So the first point I want to make this morning, and I've got some slides here. I know we've had a lot of stuff to do today. Guys, you've done really well. First point I want to make is you have the power. You have the power. All right? And so therefore I remind you, and Paul is speaking with Timothy about the faith that he has. So he's saying to Timothy, you have faith. He has passed it down in this case from his grandmother to his mother and now to you, Timothy. You've got a heritage of faith in your life, and I want to remind you to fan it into flame because you're going to need it. And even if you're here and you're a first generation Christian, that's why church is so important, because together we help one another fan into flame the gifts that God has given us. Every single person, no matter who you are, you have purpose and gifting in God for His purpose right here, right now. Stop thinking that you're no good. Stop thinking that you can't. Stop thinking, well, someone else can do that. No, God has called you to be you and to have a purpose for Him in this life. And so, look at this scripture, Proverbs 28, verse 1. I'm not going to read all of it, but if you want to get it up, you can. Fear is not from God. What did I just say? Fear is not from God. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. All right, I want you to picture for a moment a lion walking through the African savannah. What do you see when you see an African? When you see a lion walking through the savannah, are they scared of anything? Are they proud? Are they kind of like, hey, buddy, Mr. Giraffe, you think you're pretty tall. You think you're pretty smart. Look at you eating those trees and look how small I am compared to you. But hey, I've got my buddies. We've got a sound mind. We gang up on you, your history. What about the buffalo? You might look too strong and heavy, heavier than me, but hey, we can take you. There ain't nothing that's going to scare that lion. So I want us to try something this morning. I want us to get out of our shells. Because you know, God sees you just like that lion. Come on, how does God see you? Does He see you as, ooh? Or does He see you like the lion in the savannah? He just gives a little roar to let him know who's boss. Doesn't he? Come on, let's have a little roar to see who's boss this morning. Who's going to roar because they know that God is Lord and no one else is? Because this is faith in action. You've got to roar. Some of you are thinking, that's so uncool. I'm not going to do that. But the moment we think it's uncool is the moment that, because see, when we speak out something in the name of the Lord, and all it can be is just a roar, we're just saying to the enemy that I am not going to defeat it. My God is Lord. So come on, let's have a little roar this morning. One, two, three. Rah! One more time, a bit louder this time. All right, I had to warm you up because now you're realizing that everyone's behind you. All right, you're not just one lion. You're a whole herd of lions. One, two, three. All right, yeah. All right, give yourselves a hand. That was pretty impressive. So I'm going to tell you, God sees you like a lion. I don't know if you're convinced about this. God sees you like a lion. And sometimes the devil will make you think that your anxiety, your nerves, and worry are from God. Come on. Oh, you can let someone else do it. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to be humble. There's a difference between humbleness and being positive. Sometimes God wants us to have a roar on the inside. Not sometimes, all the time. I'm not that good. We've got to stop saying some things. You are good. Does God see you as good? I'm not that good. Never going to say that again. I'm not that good. Whoever says that, and we all say it from time to time, I want us to stop it. Get it out of our vocabulary. With our families, say to your family, no, you're brilliant. You are good. You're amazing. See, there is a difference between humility and confidence, like I was saying, and humility is not to be confused with small thinking. And the believer is bold. The believer is big. He's colorful. He is prosperous. And so David was able to take on the Goliath, not because he was a small thinker, but because he knew what he had inside of him, and he knew how God saw him. And so when he saw that huge Goliath standing there, saying, I'm going to defy the enemies of the living God, inside his spirit, he knew that that was not the God that he served. And so he stood and he says, let me at him. And he had to keep fighting. He had to keep saying, let me at him. Sometimes the fight takes a little while until you win. But don't stop. Keep going. You're going to defeat the giants in your life. And so right now, you know, think of the problem right now and go, you know what, Lord? I thought it was defeated, but it's not. I thought it was over. It's not. You can defeat those things in your life that you thought you never could. Because you have a God that is bigger than anything else in this world. And so you have the power. Say it with me. I have the power. Second, you are blessed. Come on, you're blessed. Let's have a look at this. James 1:23. I think I've got the slide for this, AJ. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. When we're a doer of the word, we will be blessed. When we do the work of God, we are blessed. That's why Perry could say, you know what, I believe in the Bible, I'm going to direct debit my tithes, and God's going to look after me and my family. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And so, whenever you go away from the word of God, your thoughts and your mouth will always lean towards the negative. Oh, but I'm not that good. I'm not that good with money. And I want us to start seeing ourselves as what the Bible sees ourselves. God sees you as a great steward. Yes, you might need some training, but start changing the way you speak so that you can actually begin to get a hold of the way God sees you. God doesn't see you in debt, he sees you prospering. Church, God doesn't see you in debt, he sees you prospering. If you've been sick and unwell for a while, start saying, come on, Lord, I know you. However you want to say it, that's the way I would probably say it. But Lord, thank you, I'm going to be well. Thank you, this thing's not going to be a rest part of me for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. I receive it today. What kind of a man or woman are you going to be? The Bible says that we are to be a doer of the work and we will be blessed. And so stop thinking about what was, because whilst you're still thinking about what was, I had a situation like this and I was thinking about what was. And Andrea kept saying to me, you've got to stop thinking, you're gone to regret. One day I was praying about it and I felt like I got a revelation and God just put into my spirit, start looking forward, it's going to be okay, forget about what was. You've got a bright future, things are going to change, and your personal life is going to get greater, not less. We just got to spend time with him. Just got to start listening to his voice. We go to faith, man, we're conquerors. If we don't go to faith, certain areas of our lives just become anchors. Let's go to faith. Preoccupation with your past prevents you from appropriating your future. We are made in the image of God. That should make us feel pretty confident right there. Our inheritance is not just from heaven alone. Jeff, could you just go and ask the youth just to settle down? That's Wes. Thanks. Isn't Jeff in the church being a good usher today? Fantastic. That'll stir him up. I like stirring, Wes. All right. Colossians 2:10. Especially with big Jeff. You are complete in him. Colossians 2:10 says this. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. Wow. With Christ, you are complete. And so, I am a fantastic husband. Jason, you're a fantastic husband. Sharmini, you're agreeing. That's wow. You're a fantastic wife. You guys, you're awesome. You know, you're a brilliant surfer, young Jared. Not bad worship leader either. Come on, you're a great mum. You're an awesome mum. God loves it. You know, we've all got a story. It's fantastic. It's okay. God's on our side. I am a good father. He's a father here. I am a good father. I am a good father. I have a lot of common sense. Start saying things. Oh, you know, we got the Holy Spirit on our side. We've got common sense. We've got more than we need. Our life conforms to what we believe about ourselves. Do you believe that you are beautiful today? Oh, I look fat in these jeans. Stop it. Stop it. Well, what do you think? Should I wear this out, honey? We don't care, really, but, you know, but we're blokes. But start seeing yourself as beautiful. God sees you as beautiful. I'm just being honest. We're blokes. We don't really care. But we know that we know what to say. So let's just correct it here. You look beautiful, darling. Oh, yeah. All right. So you know, when you're going out and she's beautiful. Yeah, but you're stunning. I'm stunning, Lord. Come on. Come on. I'm the most handsome man on the street. God thinks we are. So why would we think anything else? We have to believe that we are good and that we are good for this world. Read the word. You are made in his image. You're a blessing to everyone that you come into contact with. Come on. Jesus said, I am all the time. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the bread and the life. He kept saying, I am. Jesus echoed himself all the time. And when you lose God's image of yourself, you're in trouble. And too many people have the wrong context of who they are. And society will dictate that where you live is where is what you are. And the degree that you have is what makes the person. The kind of work you do makes the man. I'm not that good looking. Stop it. I used to be good at. Stop it. Your self-image is the one thing the devil will try and undermine more than anything else. The devil came to Jesus after he had been baptized into his ministry by John. And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus and said, you are my beloved son. I'm well pleased with you. I accept you. Something like that. Luke 3, you can look it up. And the devil comes to try and undermine Jesus' self-image. Directly after he said that, as he was baptized, I'm well pleased with you. You're my son. I love you. Directly after that, the devil says, if you are the son of God. Now, what has just taken place? Jesus has just heard from the Holy Spirit through the dove and through the Father in heaven and the clouds that he is the Son of God. If, and then the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God. See, the temptation for Jesus was to affirm that he was the Son of God. And God had already told him in the River Jordan that he was his beloved son. And that he was pleased with him. See, who you are is who God says you are. And Jesus decided he was going to believe what God had already told him. And rather than turn the stones into bread, he didn't need to prove anything, and neither do you and I. Jesus said, it is written. He said what? It is written. And Jesus confessed the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are you going to believe what God says about you? Hold fast to the confession of your faith. Hold fast. You and I, he loves us. He's pleased with us. He accepts us. How cool is that? You're blessed. Number three, the source of your faith is the word of God. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And so some problems in life can make you feel really small and inadequate for the task. Numbers 13:33 said, there we saw the giants, and we looked like grasshoppers to them, and we ourselves thought we were grasshoppers. How big did they feel, these Israelites? Do you think they were confessing the word of God over their life? Come on. They were small thinking, weren't they? They were actually being really small thinkers. They weren't confessing the word of God at all. And, you know, only Joshua and Caleb, interestingly, thought that they could take these guys on. Come on, we can take this land. This is going to be ours. Look how wonderful this land is. It's got the biggest grapes. It's got the amazing territory. It's lush. It's green. We can do it. Let's take it. They were in faith. And the same Israelites, though, the ones with a negative report, they'd all seen before this some incredible miracles of God. I mean, the Red Sea has opened. And they've all walked through and defeated the largest, the biggest enemy they'd ever faced, the Egyptians. And as they're walking through that Red Sea, and you know, there's a shark, and they're going, oh, look at that. And then one of the little kids goes, I found Nemo. And then an octopus tries to grab a hold of Betty. But then the octopus realizes there's no water and quickly sucks back in. It was the first aquarium. You know, it was an amazing thing. And these guys, they'd seen so much. And they'd seen the Egyptians at the hand of God. But still, they couldn't believe that God could bring them into a greater land. Interesting, hey? The confession of your mouth is so important. Because you've got to have something inside of you, and it's called the Word of God. You've got to confess what God sees about who you are. You know, they'd had a pillar of fire. They'd have water gushing from a rock. They'd had a cloud by day, fire by night. And even so, they were still negative, downcast, beaten. How was this possible? These people were not speaking the Word of God. They did not have the faith to overcome. And I want us to be a church. I'd like C3 Fremantle to be a church that has faith to overcome. Come on, is anyone behind me this morning? I want us to be a church that has faith to overcome. Faith to overcome. So you can see miracles and not believe. We need the Spirit of God in us, not the world, to enter His promised land. God's got more for you. Whoever you are, whatever your age, God has more for you. You can see miracles. Come on, let's believe in miracles. Let's believe in the power of God, but let's also have faith so that we can see what God has for us in our future. I won't forget who I am and what I have. Number four, the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. I've got the slide for this, guys. And so Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I want to tell you a few stories, one after the other, before we finish this morning, just to encourage our faith this morning. In 1864 to 65, during the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln passed some legislation that changed the course of history by emancipating slaves. But in the South, none of the slave owners allowed the slaves to read or write. And so even though the law had been passed to set the slaves free, most of them didn't know it. And the slave owners made sure that the slaves didn't learn about the legislation. The slaves were forbidden. They were forbidden books. They were forbidden newspapers. They were forbidden to go to school. Why? Because they would learn the truth and the truth would set them free. In the circus world, take a young elephant, put a stake in the ground and chain the elephant. And when the elephant tries to pull away, it realizes it can't. And this goes on for some time, but eventually the smaller elephant just gives up. Years later, when that elephant is a lot older, all they need do, the circus people, is pop the stake in the ground. The elephant comes out and immediately it thinks in its mind that it's still chained because it hasn't got a revelation that it's free. And so it just does whatever it's told to do in that confined space. Many people's minds, they are still not free. They need to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Who's born of God here today? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our what? Our faith. I want to tell you a story. Kids know that my children know that I quite like animals and various things and often watching a little program sometimes late at night about all things nature. And anyhow, a lot of eagles. And Mum Eagle makes a nest really high up. Normally find them in really high places. And they're really ugly looking nests. They're probably one of the ugliest looking nests you've ever seen because they make it out of like thorns and it's really scraggly and they bring all sorts of stuff into that nest. But when they have their little hatchlings, when they've hatched their little eaglets, the mum finds a little bit more softer material. Pops that into the nest too because, you know, a little eaglet's pretty cute looking like every other little animal. And but then one day, the little eaglet gets a bit confused and thinks mum's gone a little bit crazy because mum starts chucking all the soft stuff out of the nest. And the little eaglet's getting really quite disturbed. And starts, well, this is not comfy anymore, starts moving out onto the edge of the nest. Mum clips with her wing, and little eaglet goes, "Ah, Mum's gone nuts! Ah, Mummy!" And Mum comes underneath, brings her back up. The eaglet's going, "What are you thinking? Mum, what are you doing to me? Crazy woman, my goodness, please don't do that again." Oh, gets back in the nest a little bit longer, clip again. Ah, this time tries to flap just a little bit, but mum comes underneath again. Another time, a bit longer later in the afternoon. Mum's chucking more stuff out of the nest, it's really uncomfortable now. A little eaglet's right on the edge of the nest. And Mum gives an even bigger clip of her wing. A little thing goes down. Ah! Suddenly thinks, "Oh, I've got wings." Finds a current. "Hey, Mum, this is pretty cool. Sorry, Mum. This is awesome. Fantastic. I'm gliding. I'm okay. It's going to be all right." Wow. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. Come on. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is our... Let me read you this one. This is a ripper. Glenn Cunningham was at school one day with his brother when there was a terrible explosion near them, both caused by a can of petrol. His older brother died in hospital soon after. True story. Glenn was so badly burned, the doctors wanted to amputate both his legs. He lost all his toes on one foot. The doctors did not believe he would ever walk again, even if his legs didn't go gangrene. But Glenn's favorite Bible verse was, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And he kept that verse. And he kept it as his favorite verse. He's got no toes on one foot at all. They wanted to amputate his legs, but he said no. And his parents said, okay, we're just going to trust God here. Glenn said he always believed he could walk again. After 2 years, he started to take his crippled body and place it behind an old plow, day after day, until eventually he made his legs walk again. Once he could walk, he started to run. And once he could run, he said, I am going to run faster than anybody has ever run. In 1934, Glenn Cunningham set the world record for the mile at 4 minutes and 6 seconds, which stood for 3 years. Come on. I will rise up on wings like eagles. I will run and not grow. I will walk and not grow. He took it as his verse. He meditated on it. You know, sometimes we've just got to meditate on the Word of God. We can just read through. We could also just take a verse or two and just meditate until it gets into our spirit. If you have a problem with fear, start saying, "I," 2 Timothy 1:6 is a great verse for you. I have not got a spirit of fear. I have not got a spirit of whatever it is. And let's start proclaiming the word of God over our lives. Not only that, Glenn Cunningham in 1936 set the world record for the 800-meter run. A boy who they were going to cut off his legs because they were so damaged, we've lost toes on his left foot, became the world's fastest runner. How? Meditating on Scripture. I shall walk, run and not grow weary. I shall run. The Word of God can change your life. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet this morning? What's going to change your life? The Word of God. Come on, let's stand. Meditation is a digestive faculty of our soul. We need to meditate on the Word of God. You know, this week, one of the best things you can do coming into next weekend is meditate on the Word of God. Pray to God and say, Lord, I thank you for who I am. I thank you that I'm going to be a conqueror. I thank you, Lord, for who you've made me to be. I thank you, Lord, I'm a great mum. I thank you, I'm a great dad. I thank you that my children are going to be the best kids out. I thank you, whatever my circumstances, I refuse to go backwards. I am no longer going to live in regret. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to trust what God sees for me. And no matter what my past, it doesn't matter. God is for me. I'm going to move forward regardless. Before long, you'll get a picture in your mind of what God has for your life. Come on. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray over every person here today. I pray a spirit of faith. I pray, Lord, that people will actually get a gift of faith for their lives, that they will see like they have never seen before. Lord, we see this church expanding, Father God. We see enlargement, Father God. We see the cultures, Father, growing. Lord, we see, Father, other areas, Father, that we reach, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you've caused this church to be a place of influence because we have great faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, let's just lift our hands for a moment. Lord, I receive today. Cup your hands like you want to receive like something from him today. Lord, we receive of your power today. Father, I pray over every person. Power of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for us. I thank you, Lord, for my future. I thank you, Lord, for the things that I'm involved in. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to have my best life because I put my faith in you. It's my faith that overcomes this world. It's my faith that overcomes this world. Come on, let's say it together. It's my faith that overcomes this world. It's my faith that overcomes this world. One more time. It's my faith that overcomes this world. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, church.